My dearly beloved brother and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, the peace of the Lord Jesus be with all of you. Like a ravening wolf, Saint Saul approached Damascus to devour those who belonged to the way, men or women, and he wanted them, as he said, when they were murdered, to have his vote against them. He wanted to bring them handcuffed and in custody to Jerusalem. His attack, as we learn from Jesus, is on Jesus, because Jesus is so closely bound to his people that when they attack his people, they attack the Lord also. On his way to Damascus, then, in his rage breathing out threats, Saul, the spoiler of the church, a ravening wolf, is met by the Lord, this lamb who himself was devoured, this shepherd of the flock, this master of the gospel. And in meeting him, the Lord Jesus conquers his most staunch enemy to be his most sturdy apostle. The life of this lamb himself had been consumed by the devourer. This shepherd is the one who demonstrated and revealed the truth of his good shepherding in that he gave his life for the flock. We do not give him his life. He gives his, and we derive ours from him. He was bruised and pierced, this Lord of glory who gave his life, that we might have abundant life. Now he sits at God's right hand, and at God's right hand he who rose from the dead to give the authority and power to the preaching of the gospel sends his word like a sharp arrow into the heart of the king's enemies. And with the word of his own pain, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Jesus pierces the heart of his enemy. He sets him free to be a bondman of his Lord, to preach, and the highest of all, to suffer for his name's sake. He who is the light of the world shone brightly into the heart of Paul's darkness, blinding him into a vision that leads him to be the master builder of the church he sought to destroy. This shepherd Lord, who bore the charge of blasphemy and who carried in his body the insults of all who have insulted God, who was mocked for trusting his Father, who was baptized and filled by the Holy Spirit to go to the cross, he is the one now who draws the blasphemer into himself, the insulter becomes his servant, and he is baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. For this Lord heals, cleanses, and gives the Holy Spirit, as he did in our text to one who formerly blasphemed and persecuted and insulted him. This shepherd is God's wisdom. He is the wisdom of God to make us righteous, holy, and redeemed before him. This wisdom is the one who sweetly and mightily orders all things. This one is the one full of grace and truth. And so St. Paul says, I, who was his enemy, who acted in the ignorance of unbelief, am now made rich and alive with faith and love by the abundance of that grace from this Lord. So Paul is a noble spoil, a glorious conquest of Christ our Lord. He, this Saul, is a rich growth on the wounded vine. And as he describes it, he himself is now an exhibit. In his own body, death is at work that life might be in us. He who is the foremost of the sinners is the teacher of the church, especially us who are Gentiles, that the grace and the glory of God are the light of God revealed in the face of Jesus to shine into our hearts. By that light, he enlightens every man, giving life to you who believe. This man, the apostolic preacher and the sufferer, builds on the foundation which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. And as he said, he builds with gold, silver, and precious stones, not with hay, straw, stubble, and things that will be consumed. And without shame, this master builder describes himself as proclaiming, teaching, and suffering for the gospel, that the powerful revelation of the righteousness of God from faith to faith, so that he who through faith is righteous shall live, that gospel might build the church. Today, therefore, is a day of rejoicing in the Lord, for this Christ is God's wisdom toward us. We too are the sinners in natural animosity toward God. And this God comes to us, to meet us, to enlighten us, to give our dark hearts knowledge of the corruption of our sin, and to give our dark and blind and hateful hearts knowledge that by his grace he has overcome our sin, taken it away, and joined us to himself. This is the one who gives us words about his own suffering in order to preach peace to us. So he picks us up, as he did Paul, and carries us from animosity into peace. Not by condemnation to death, but by conversion to life. Not by the merit of zeal, but by mercy in the sufficiency of his blood. Today, therefore, is a day of joy for us. For our Lord calls us with his own pure gold promises, tried 7 times in the fire. With the words of the precious jewels of his wounds, he invites us to come to himself. It is hard to kick against the goads. And he binds himself in unity with us by his own fidelity. He makes us to lie down in green pastures of his word, beside the quiet waters where he has given us peace and absolution. He prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. And the cup that he gives is sweet wine to us when we drink it, the forgiveness of our sins, although it was bitter gall in his making the purchase. And he leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Today we remember how he guards his people with the apostolic teaching of Paul, his special agent to the Gentiles. And we want to remember that particularly today, because the world is not only a partner in our natural animosity to God, the world is also hostile by its dullness, its indifference, its insistence on its own way. And so this day is a day not only of joy, but a day of consolation and courage. St. Paul says in 1 Timothy, "It is for this reason I received mercy, that in me, as the foremost of sinners, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience for an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever. Amen." The dramatic and terrible suffering of Paul, an illustration of the wondrous grace and the infinite mercy of God, is shared by many thousands of fellow believers today, even though it may not be given to any or to many of us. But whether the suffering we know is dramatic and deadly, or whether it is subtle, innerward, and decent, the temptation is always the same in suffering. It is the invitation to escape the suffering, to leave off trusting the Lord, and to throw your weight somewhere else. It is the invitation to be morose and anxious, to be angry and disheartened, as if God were not, or if he is, that he does not care. So Paul's case of "you will suffer great things for me" is meant for our consolation and courage to all who believe in Jesus. No one will snatch us from the hands of this wounded shepherd, for he is God's wisdom. As I said before, his promises have been tried 7 times in the fire. This is the lamb who was burnt and roasted, and his promise is true. So that in him we are encouraged by Paul, that the sufferings may be an illustration to trust God who raises the dead. He indeed plucks up, pulls down, and crushes. But he does not abandon the work of his hands. As he raised our Lord, and as he raised up Saul, he gives us courage to live in that hope. Furthermore, this encouragement and consolation of hope is to be seen in another facet. Saul was the staunchest and the fiercest enemy of God, including our Adamic self in that model. And here Saul is met and conquered, so that the stoutest enemy becomes the most solid apostle. We are met by that shepherd in the voice of his own passion to call us to himself. We too have been flailing and fighting and kicking, and our Adamic self still does. But he does not abandon us to the enemy. He conquers the enemy because he conquers us. So we are consoled and encouraged to crave in our own life hearts of mercy toward those who suffer for the sake of the name of Jesus, for his holy gospel, whether that is dramatic or quiet and insidious, to be tender-hearted toward them. But more than that, we are free to learn how to rejoice with exceeding great joy as we live in the midst of our own trouble and struggle to build the church of God, not foolishly with wood, hay, stubble, the stubble of party spirit, or ideological enthusiasm, of worldly accommodation, or merchandising tricks, but to build the church with the gold, silver, and precious stones of the pure gospel. These promises so well refined. And to build that church with weapons of the sword of the Spirit, God's word, sharpened and practiced in prayer, praise, and supplication for all the saints. We are to have courage in building that church, whether it seems to us it is the way it should go or not. And so with supplication, we urge God to give us to speak and to hear, to believe and to live, to do and to proclaim that word of the apostle to the whole earth. For that unity of zeal and for that evangelical purpose, we pray today, the climax of our week of prayer for church unity. The peace of the Lord Jesus be with all of you.